Father, we thank you that you're here this morning. Father, we thank you that you love us so much. And as Philip was speaking, I was led to this. Sorry, I've got something in my eye. Through the praise of children and infants. Through the praise of children and infants that he brings here weekly after week after week after week. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the sea. Exalt the name of our Lord. Thanks, Philippa. Just a short message this morning. Keep playing, Lynn. I've had quite a big week this week, but the last few days I've been putting together this message, and as I mentioned with Anna this morning at 7:30, God decided that it's not what he wanted me to preach that I'd prepared in the last couple of days. Here's something new, and so Gary has a modified script down there that I'm not going to use now at all. Exactly, thank you. Because while I was sitting here just before, he's changed it yet again. When Jesus had finished saying all this, as you've just heard, he entered Capernaum. The centurion's servant was sick and dying. The centurion had heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." Saints, when I was reading this before, there was a couple of questions that have jumped up in my mind. This guy's a Roman centurion, so the chances of him being a Jew are actually zip. And yet, he built them a place of worship. And there are people in this community who don't know Jesus, and yet they support a place of worship. They support this place. They support other churches. They support World Vision. They support so many other ministries that are around the place, very much like this Roman centurion. And then it says the most interesting thing. And it can get lost if we just skim through it. It says this, verse 3. The centurion heard of Jesus. And that's all it says. Centurion heard of Jesus. But what struck me about this is, what did he hear of Jesus? And from whom did he hear from Jesus? He must have heard enough that maybe this Jesus could heal my servant. And so I'm sitting there wrestling with this, thinking, but what does that mean for us? And I'm wondering whether, Because I've certainly been challenged in the last couple of weeks, and I'm wondering whether maybe we're being challenged as well. How much do we actually trust what we know of Jesus? If Jesus says that he's going to do something here, do we trust that he will? I would venture to say, of course we do. You see, because this centurion goes on to talk about authority. And I throw into the mix that all of us here in some way, shape or form are under authority. I can't speak for you guys specifically, but I certainly can speak for myself. I too am under authority. I am under the authority of our wardens. I am under the authority of vestry. I am under the authority of our bishop. But ultimately, friends, there's a trump card in all of this, something that trumps all of that, and that is that I am under the authority of the God who called me. Yes, I was invited here, but God called me here. So that's whose authority has got to be my first port of call. Because you see, I'm reminded as I was considering this, what God is in fact doing. You see, to the best of my understanding, generations, let's just talk about St. Thomas. For generations, people have been praying for the Spirit of God to move. And he has. And he continues to do so. We are praying for young families. We had our first specifically focused young family meeting here on the first Sunday of August. Over 70 people were here. We were inundated with young families and young children. All of the youth group are here, and I might say that the youth group have, in the last 3 weeks, grown by another 2 people. I might also say that 7 of them have played around in the baptismal pool. That, in fact, last Tuesday they wanted me to close it all up again because they wanted to see how dark it would get under there. So they're excited. They are excited about what's going on. There are 2 adults who also wish to be fully immersed, baptized. There are 2 children from Ngāti Māori who are going through confirmation. So these things have been prayed for, and they are happening. Families are being reached. I was asking the other day, how long has Tom Thumb's been in existence? You were saying 20 years, Petrina. 20 years. 15 years under you, Philippa, yeah? Okay, and so many others have been involved in it for all of that period of time. And it is bearing fruit. Youth are gathering together. The churches are uniting regularly. The pastors certainly are united. God is in fact moving in this place by his Spirit. This is a move of his Spirit. It's nothing I've done. It's a move of his Spirit because it is an answer to the prayers of the faithful. People have been faithfully praying for this place for days and weeks and months and years, and God is saying, I believe God is saying, now is the time. Isaiah 43 puts it like this, look, I'm about to do something new. Now it's beginning to happen, Isaiah said. Do you not recognize it? There are incredibly wonderful things happening here. And I'm wondering whether we need to collectively gather ourselves together and say, as the centurion did, that he had heard of Jesus, heard of what he did, heard of what he can do, heard of what he has promised to do, and say, would you do it for me? I'm a man under authority. I understand that you are a person under authority, that you carry the authority. Just say it and it'll happen, because I'm not worthy to, and we actually have it in our prayer book, and maybe this is one of the few times I can use this, we're not even worthy to gather the crumbs from under his table. But how is it that he's mindful of us? Because he loves us desperately. We're the best thing he's ever made. And so actually, saints, what I'm encouraging us to take home with us today is very, very simple. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. And my thoughts are above your thoughts, says the Lord. So I am asking us collectively that it might not be quite the way we thought it was going to be. But it's happening. And it's happening all around us in this place every single week. Hundreds of people are coming here. So maybe we, as that Miranda's mum used to say, bear with. God's doing stuff here, and it's an answer to the faithful. And I totally concur. Exalt the Lord our God, for he's doing wonderful, wonderful things. We have our next combined service next Sunday, and it's we are believing for huge things. Pray for those families, saints. Pray for them.